Welcome to the May 25th sermon from Clifford Baptist Church, 635 Fletcher's Level Road in Amherst. Today's scripture is Galatians chapter 3, verses 15 through 22, and the sermon is entitled, God's Faithful Promise, delivered today by Pastor Jeffrey Campbell.
I'm grateful today for God's faithful promise. And at the end of that faithful promise is one day, in some way, in some form, He's going to come for you. Whether that's before that trumpet sounds and He calls you through the laying down of this old body, or one day if we live long enough and He comes for us all, the King will come. I want to start out this sermon by just telling you this. I've heard a lot of sermons on Galatians chapter 1 and chapter 2. I've heard lots of sermons on Galatians chapter 5 and chapter 6. It's easy to preach on the fruits of the Spirit. I want you to know that. It's hard to live them out, but as preaching on, it's easy. But chapters 3 and 4, if Jeffrey had his way, he would just take the high road and give you the main point and move along. But God has laid out four sermons in just chapter 3. And it's like when I was a kid, when we moved to the house that I grew up in at 9 years old, one of the first things we had to do in that old farmhouse was build a fence around it. And we got some old oak boards. And we put up that fence. And there's on some VHS somewhere. Yes, I said VHS. Somewhere. There is a video of some boys trying to put up an oak fence with some oak boards that had been laying there a little bit too long. And if you've ever done that, you know when you take that nail on that oak board and you drive it, it don't matter what you drive it with, it ain't going. Because that board is hard. Well, I feel like that's what it is like preaching through Galatians 3 and 4. I'm going to hit the same nail over and over and over again in the next few weeks. But here's the reality. Why is that important to the church? Why do you need to hear that about faith being the root of why we are here? It is because it is a foundational truth. You can't build off the foundation if it is not steady, if we are not agreed together, that you cannot add to Jesus Christ anything and be saved. I think an amen goes there somewhere, right? It does. Because we can't add to Jesus. That's what was going on in Galatia. They were saying you had to have faith, but you had to be circumcised. Or you had to have faith and you had to follow these laws. If you didn't do that, then you're not saved. That false teaching had crept into the early church. And so what Paul does as he writes to Galatia is he's trying to dispel that, but also lay down the foundation that it is by faith in Jesus Christ that you are justified, that you are saved, that you are redeemed. We have looked at all of those words. And so today, we go back to God's faithful promise, which we introduced last week to Abraham. And we're going to hammer that same nail with just a little bit different angle this week. And in doing so, I believe that we have been declared righteous in the courtroom of God by our faith. And the Galatian believers have lost sight of that. But as we go back to this initial promise to Abraham, we are reminded in verse number 6 of chapter number 3. I'm going to read that real quick. It says, even as Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. It was accounted to him for righteousness. So here's what that says, church. As he placed his faith in God, God put on his account the righteousness of God, the right living of God, because of his faith. And that has not changed for you and me. So this morning, starting out, before this sermon, what does your account look like? I'm not talking about a financial account. I know every month when the statement comes in, you review your account and make sure everything's in balance, right? Maybe I just do that. Maybe my wife does that. I don't do that. Maybe my wife does that. Here's what I'm asking you to do today. Take your spiritual account and look at it. Don't just trust the account because you said a prayer or because you've been in church or because you're doing good or because you're right. You can't hang your hat on that when you stand before God one day. It is only the faith in Jesus that you will be welcomed into an eternal home. And so every now and then, regularly, we need to look at our account and make sure that it is faith and faith alone that stands out. And so today, with that, that is our opening, Galatians chapter number 3. Go to verse number 15. We're right in the middle of this chapter. Galatians chapter number 3, verse number 15 says this, "Brethren, I speak after the manner of men. Though it be but a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannulleth or added thereunto. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before God and Christ, the law which was 430 years after, cannot disannul, that it should make the promise of none effect. For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more of promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise." Point number one today in our sermon is this: God's promise will not fail. God's promise will not fail. How many of you testify to the faithfulness of Jesus this morning? God is faithful through Jesus. I'm grateful for that. Hebrews 10:23 reminds us, "Let us hold fast to the profession of our hope without wavering, for he is faithful." Listen to this, "that promised." He is faithful that promised. We believe that our God is faithful. But here is what the people in Galatia are doing. They are holding on to their faith, but they are wavering. As this false teaching has come in, they're like, okay, it's not just faith in Christ. I've got to follow these rules. I've got to follow the law in order to be saved. So they're wavering in between that. And so Paul, in his argument of faith alone, is simply saying this, that you cannot waver. Throughout chapter 3, Abraham rises to the top as the one that Paul uses in his defense arguments for being justified by faith. Remember, that word justified means that we are declared not guilty in the courtroom before God. Even though we are guilty, we are declared not guilty because of our faith. But he opens up chapter 3, verse number 15, by giving us a real life example. He talks about a human agreement. Now, I will preface this by saying this is not 2025, okay? This is back in biblical times when a man and another man made a covenant, made an agreement with each other. Whether they shook hands on it or not, a man's word was a man's word. Amen? Amen. We're not in those days anymore. As Christians, we should be those kind of people. But what happened in biblical days when two people agreed or came to agreement and it was finalized, it could not be changed and it could not be forgotten. Once these two people came to an agreement, it could not be changed. And that's what you see in verse number 15 with those words, confirmed and disannulleth or added to. You can't change that agreement once two people agree to it. So, in seeing that, we are then talking about the promises of God. And that promise of God was between God and between Abraham. And that has not changed either. You can look at Genesis chapter number 12, Genesis chapter number 15, or Genesis chapter number 22. And I'm going to read Genesis 22, 18. You don't have to turn there, but listen to this. Here's what God's promise, his covenant to Abraham was. Listen to this. "And in thy seed shall all nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice." Abraham, because you are faithful, all nations are going to be blessed, and that blessing is going to come through Abraham's seed. Through Abraham's seed. What a promise. What a covenant. But look at verse number 16 with me. It says this, now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He said not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. So here's what Paul is arguing. The blessing doesn't come through many seeds. It comes through one seed. And that one seed that is connected to Abraham is none other than Jesus Christ. And so through the blessing and through the faithfulness of Abraham, he has a promise that nation after nation after nation will be blessed. Not because of your family, but because of the one that will come from you, which is Jesus Christ. And we live in that day of blessing, that nation after nation is blessed because of faith in Jesus Christ. Now, we think about that word seed. It's just a simple grammar lesson in verse number 16. It's only one seed. It's not many. And that one person is Jesus Christ. And so today, that is the result of the promise. In verse number 17, you see a number 430 years later or thereafter. When you read that, that is pointing to when the law came. And I'm going to try to make this connection for you. This covenant to Jacob found in Genesis 28, until the covenant that was made with Moses and God gave him the law. So from Genesis 28 until Moses received the law, that's where that number 430 comes into play. It is 430 years after Moses finally received the law. And remember from last week, the argument is, hey, Abraham didn't have the law. He lived by faith. And today, you must live by faith. We can't just check the boxes of the rules that need to be done. So here's what Paul is saying. God's promises will not fail. It has not failed. The seed came through Abraham, and the blessing of the nation is because people have put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. That's where the blessing comes from. I hope I have not confused you, but I told you we're getting into the weeds. So the first part of this is this. God's promise has never failed. From the beginning of your Bible, remember the seed is mentioned in Genesis chapter 3. You remember that, right? As enmity is put between thy seed and her seed, and what's going to happen? What is Jesus going to do? He's going to take his heel and crush the head of that serpent. That's what Genesis, but the seed is talked about in Genesis 3. Far before Genesis 12, 15, and 22, the seed is Jesus. God's promises have not failed. Look at verses 19 and 20. Wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgressions, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made, and it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. Now, a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. Point number two is this. There has to be a mediator of the promise. A mediator of the promise. So if it has always been about faith, then why did God give the law? Why does God give the law? And he gives three reasons here why he gave the law in verses 19 and verse number 20. Look at verse number 19. He says, wherefore then serveth the law? Why then the law? That's what Paul's asking. Why do we have the law? Look at verse number 19. It says, it was added because of transgressions. So transgressions, remember, that word comes with it the idea of trespassing are that you are stepping over boundaries. Remember, when you trespass, you step over that boundary line. God has put these boundaries up. You've stepped over it. So the law was added to show that man is sinful and to show that we cannot be pleasing to God by just following rules. You cannot be perfect. You need something more. But remember, the law is to point you to something greater. You need something more. And as we have mentioned before, the law serves as a mirror. When you read some of these laws, you're like, I'm guilty, right? I'm dirty. The mirror shows that you're dirty. The mirror cannot clean you. The law shows that you are dirty, but the law cannot make you clean. Because you cannot keep all of the law. It's impossible. But what the law was meant to do was to show people you are not good enough. You're not holy enough. You need something greater. So it shows about transgressions. Look at verse number 24 of chapter 3. We're going to look at this again next week. It says, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. So the law was just a tutor. It was just something that pointed you toward Jesus. The law teaches us individuals of their sin and our need for Christ. So I believe this is why we need to continue to read the Bible cover to cover. We just don't read the New Testament. I believe the Old Testament is still important because it still shows us we need Jesus. And when I read the Old Testament, guess what? I see Jesus on every page. I see that law pointing there. So it's for transgressions, but it's also only for a time. Look at verse 19 again. It was added because of transgressions till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. So the second reason why the law was given, it was given until the seed could come. So it was intended to drive men and women from sin to God only for a particular amount of time, until something greater, something more came. And that something was someone, and he was Jesus. Look at verse number 19 again. It says this, till the seed should come. So the law was given until the seed, which is Jesus, would come. And so when we understand that that law was good for only a certain amount of time because Jesus is here, Jesus is a fulfillment of the promise, and though we cannot be devoted to law, we must be devoted to Jesus. I know many of you are in here this morning, and I hope I'm not losing you here. But I know many of you this morning have been burned because somebody promised you something. Somebody promised you that they would be there for you, and they weren't. Somebody promised that they would love you till that both of you died, and then someone broke that promise. Some of you have waiting on somebody to show up that promised that they would come visit you or come to see you, and it may have been years and they've never come. And so when you hear the idea of promise, guess what? You're thinking, oh no, that's a dirty word. Because somebody broke their promise. I grew up in a home that when you promise something, you better do it. I told my stepdad I loved burnt toast and I would eat it. And guess what Jeffrey had to do? I promised I would eat it. I had to eat it with nothing on it. Now, I use that as a joke. But what if God broke his promise? Then he cannot be trusted. He cannot be God. And so God has never broken a promise here. And what we understand here is that that law was for a time, but Jesus, the seed, is the fulfillment of that law. He is the promised one. Look at verse number 19 again. At the end of it, it says, and it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. So the third part of this is that the law was given through a mediator. And there's all kind of interpretations for these verses. But here's what I've prayed about this. And here's what the commentaries say. 250 translations of what this one verse means. But I'm just going to tell you what God and I have been dealing with. That's all I can tell you about what this verse means. And here's what this verse means. When we think about angels, angels are mediators for God. They are go-between God and somebody. Have you ever been a mediator before? Parents serve as mediators. If you have two children fighting, you are a mediator, parents. Amen? You are the go-between. So parents, you're a mediator. I don't know, some of you may have to be mediators at work. That gets a little messy for me. I've been there and done that. But pastors, oh boy. You sign up to be a mediator, okay? But here's the reality. When we think about a mediator and what we have done, it's hard because it involves two people, two groups. And just yesterday, somebody told me this. There is a third party always. It's two sides, and the truth is somewhere in between that. So mediation is hard, right? Unless you're Abraham. Because Abraham received it from God directly. There was no mediator. And that's what you see here as I try to explain it to you. The end of verse number 19, it talks about a mediator. In verse number 20, it says, now a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. And so when we think about mediation, trying to work things out, here's the truth. God gave the covenant to Abraham directly with no mediator involved. And that promise that God is one comes from the book of Deuteronomy. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. That's where that comes from. So if the Lord is one and he directly made a promise to Abraham, he cannot break that promise. And that promise was blessing upon his life because of his obedience upon those that come after him through the seed, which is Jesus. All nations would be blessed because of the seed, which is Jesus. Here's what I want to tell you, church. In these verses, this is what God has given me. You do not need a mediator. You don't. You have Jesus Christ, who is God, and you have a direct connection to the God of the universe through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is God. So you don't need a mediator. So don't get mad at me when I tell you this today, that you don't need a priest, you don't need a pastor, and you definitely don't need a pope, because you get to talk to God yourself. To think that you've got to bring everything to me and that I'm some mediator to God, absolutely not. Hit your knees and go to God directly. That is the blessing. That is the blessing of knowing the seed. You have a direct relationship. You don't have to pass through some other channel to get to God. You have him by faith if you believe. Look at verses 21 and 22. Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. But the scripture hath concluded, all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. Point number three today, this is the last one, is the promise is freely given. Freely given. It seems like God was working against himself. So he gave the promise, then he gave the law, and then by faith you can have the promise, or is it by law that you can have the promise? And Paul simply says this, does God work against himself? What is his answer here? Two words, God forbid. I'm gonna translate that into my, heck no, absolutely not. God does not work against himself. And so what Paul is saying as he looks at this law is that law, what it does is it imprisons you. Look at verse number 22. He says, but the scripture hath concluded, listen to these words, all under sin. Everybody is imprisoned by sin. Everybody is guilty of not following the law. You cannot follow the law fully and freely without being under sin. So what is the only thing that can set man, woman, boy, and girl free from sin? It's also contained in verse number 22. Look there. It says this. If everybody is under sin, it says this, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. If you have faith in Jesus Christ, you are set free from the bondage of sin. Here's what I want to show you. You got to stay with me here. Paul is setting the stage, and he is talking to a church that has been influenced by a Mosaic law. They think they've got to follow those rules. They have faith, but they think the rules must be followed still. And maybe you're sitting here and you are looking at this and you're saying, what does this have to do with my life, right? Paul is getting to the root of the problem. And the root of the problem in Galatia was this: you cannot add to Jesus and be saved. And so, church, the foundation of our faith, the root is this. If you believe in Jesus, there is nothing added to that or taken away that will be able to save you. You are not good enough. You cannot give enough. You cannot go hard enough to be saved. And if you do not have faith in Jesus Christ. So faith is the foundation, right? All right. Listen to these words. James chapter number 2. You know that as he starts out in verse number 20, what does he say? Faith without works is dead. Now, here's what I want to tell you. Paul is addressing the roots of the problem. James is addressing the fruits that are not there. And if you read these words, you may think the Bible kind of talks against itself. Look at verse number 24 is the verse I want you to look at. James 2:24, it says this: ye see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. Oh gosh. Is the Bible contradicting itself? Paul is saying you got to be justified by faith only, and James is saying you got to be justified by faith and works. No, they're talking about two different things. Paul is dealing with those that are leaning on the Mosaic law and those that are foundationally weak. If you are foundationally weak today, here's what I want you to understand. You must have faith in Jesus and Him alone. Nothing else will save you. But if you are saved, then we start to look at the fruit. And that's what James says. Faith is not a dead faith. If the roots are alive, then there should be some fruit on the tree. And so it's not a contradiction. It's a looking at two different people right into two different groups of people saying the exact same thing. Faith still starts with Jesus Christ. But if you believe in Jesus Christ and you are a Christian, you should be bearing fruit. You should be showing that. All right, I know that's a mouthful. How do I boil that down today? When we think about the promise that is freely given, there are those who are trapped, those who are locked up, those who feel like there's no way out because of sin. How can you be freed from that? I've got a name, and his name's Jesus. The promises of Jesus are this, that he is the promise. He is the answer to the law. He is the seed. He is the one that will save your life. The promise extends to all those who will, what's that last word of verse number 22? All those that will believe. And so today, in this moment of invitation, here's what I want to ask you. Are you standing on the promises of God? And here's what the Bible teaches. Those promises will not fail. That promise is that he will be your mediator. He will be the one that you need to go to. And the promise that he is freely given and fully available to anyone who will believe, that is the promise today. There are two kind of inspections that God is doing right now. As I ask you to look at your life at the beginning of this service and look at your spiritual account, here's where we're going to look at the spiritual account. If you have faith and you say, I believe in Jesus Christ as my Savior, I have turned from sin, I have placed my faith in Jesus, and I will live for Him, here's what the Bible says: you should be bearing fruit. But the Bible also says this, that if you're confused, if you don't have the answers, you must be rooted in Jesus Christ far before you will bear fruit. And there are those today in this room that need to get their roots straight, and there are those in this room that need to get their fruits straight, because we're looking at accounts. And I'm not looking at your account and you're not looking at my account, but God is looking at all of our accounts. And so today, what does that account say before a holy, perfect, loving God? Does it show that you belong to Him? Or are you leaning on false things just like the church in Galatia? I'm grateful today for God's faithful promise. And if you are here today and you need to make a decision for the Lord, I'm grateful for the Holy Spirit that guides and directs. I'm grateful for the work of God. I believe right now God is working in our midst. And you know what your account says. And here's the reality. You could be freed from all sin today if you simply turn from the sin and turn to Jesus as your Savior. He took your penalty on the old rugged cross. He took your death to a grave, and He rose to give you life. Today, you can be set free from that bondage that you read about in verse number 22 by faith in Jesus Christ. I invite you to come today. Brothers and sisters, Christian men and women, may our roots be grounded so that our fruits are shown. Let's go to God. Father, thank You for this wonderful day. Thank You for a day that we set aside in our country to remember those who have fallen, that we have the freedom in which we have today to worship today simply because someone stood in our place. Oh God, what a freedom that You give us from sin. Maybe today there's somebody in this room, maybe there's days, there's families that are going through struggles. Maybe today there's somebody that needs to be set free. Oh God, I pray that You can do that through Your Son Jesus. And I pray that You do that today. God, I pray that we will be humble enough to bow before a holy God and get our roots straight, that we're on the foundation of Jesus and Jesus alone. May we draw our source and our strength from You, O Lord. God, give us that, I pray. As a church, may we never forget Your faithful promise resides in that of Jesus Christ. Lord, if somebody needs a Savior, today, Holy Spirit, go before and work on that heart, I pray. God, we give You this time as we look at our accounts, as we stand before You. God, lead us in these moments, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Clifford Baptist Church invites you to join us for worship every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. For more information about our church, please call our church office at 434-946-0555.